Today on Real Radio.
So everyone else in the audience 2,000 years ago had to scratch their head and say, man, this Jesus not only does miracles and declares that he's the Son of God, but he's telling us that Jonah's event was a real event. He was really swallowed by a great fish. Look, my God's big enough to make a fish big enough to do anything he wants to do with that fish. I've read Genesis 1:1. After that, everything's possible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Outside of that, your God is huge.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Chapter 11 records accounts of those who believe in the Messiah as well as those who do not. Within the section of verses 27 through 32, Jesus has some blatantly strong words for those who don't believe, but are simply looking for a sign. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Dangers of Unbelief.
Jesus pours fuel on the fire. They're already struggling with unbelief, so what does he say? He brings up the account of Jonah. Isn't Jonah the most mocked, made fun of event in the Bible? Oh, you guys believe that God made a great whale or fish to swallow Jonah? Let me ask you this. Is God God? If he's God, can he do anything he wants to do? He can do anything he wants to do. Can he make a fish swallow Jonah? Yes. Whatever it is, it ate him up. I think personally that God prepared a special fish. This was a fish that God made for Jonah to be swallowed by him, and then it burped him up on the shores. It just burped him up. And can you imagine being a fisherman that day? Can you imagine a bored fisherman, and all of a sudden the wave looks a little odd. Up comes this giant fish, and this guy comes tumbling out, seaweed around him. His skin is bleached white. The guy gets up, no hair, because the acid would have eaten the hair off of him. He gets up. And he starts walking with determination because God told him, go. Can you imagine that guy's watching this thing, fish? The guy comes out and Jonah starts walking. And he walked hundreds of miles, by the way, to Nineveh. You know Nineveh today. In fact, the mosque of Jonah is in Nineveh today. It wasn't a mosque originally, but they call it now the Mosque of Jonah. It's in Mosul, Iraq. He goes there. He's walking there. Jesus says, no sign is going to be given to this generation except that of the prophet Jonah. So everyone else in the audience 2,000 years ago had to scratch their head and say, man, this Jesus not only does miracles and declares that he's the Son of God, but he's telling us that Jonah's event was a real event. He was really swallowed by a great fish. Look, my God's big enough to make a fish big enough to do anything he wants to do with that fish. I've read Genesis 1:1. After that, everything's possible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Outside of that, your God is huge. He can do anything he wants. And Jesus, here's the amazing thing. Jesus, the Son of God, is announcing to the world it really happened. Jesus endorses what happened regarding Jonah's life. Miraculous. Thirdly, under this point, faith in what is practical. Unbelief rejects faith. Unbelief rejects what's practical. For as Jonah, verse 30, became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. Jesus is speaking of himself. So watch this. As Jonah was vomited up on the shore, and he goes to Nineveh, and he declares his message, which when you read the book of Jonah, it was an 8-word sermon. And you guys, when you read the book of Jonah, it says right there, Jonah does not want these guys to come to know God. He wants them to fry in hell forever. He hates them. How funny is that? God sends this man, go preach to them. All right, you got it. Okay. He shows up. Hey, Nineveh. Yet 40 days and Nineveh's overthrown. Walks around town. 40 days and Nineveh's overthrown. In other words, translated today, fry, you suckers. Fry. No hope. There's no hope in his message. There's no, while they play the organ, come down from the bleachers. The buses will wait. None of that. He just gives a hopeless message. Who would respond to a hopeless message? Jonah gives this message. Jesus said of his life, of his ministry, that is Jonah's, to the Ninevites. He used the word here, Jonah became a sign. Church, this is awesome. If you know anything, if you've studied or if you've gone with us through the book of Jonah, we studied in depth what is the Babylonian worship system which Nineveh held to. They had a chief god. It's the one that you'll hear about here in a second. This chief god in the life of the Ninevites was Dagon. D-A-G-O-N. Dagon. And he was the chief god of all fish. Their priest wore long green flowing robes embroidered like scales of a fish. The robe looked like fish scales. So have you ever seen those Chinese New Year dragon things where the guys are running, banging the drum, and you see the dragon head? Don't I look just like one right there? They're going like this, and they're banging the drum, and it's got the scales of the dragon. The priest had these long green robes, and they had a hat that looked like a fish's mouth open at the top, and they were the priest of Dagon in Babylonian worship. Why am I bringing this up to you? Because when Jonah came to Nineveh, what had happened to him? He'd gotten swallowed by a fish. He comes to town, he's a Jew, coming to a bunch of Babylonians. Why is that important? Because the Babylonians would make marauding journeys down into Israel and take people captive, and the Israelis hated them, and they hated the Israelis. So God says, Jonah, I want you to go preach to them. What did Jonah do? Jonah said, forget you, God, and he got a boat, and he tried to head off for Europe, remember? Tarshish. He headed for Spain. That's the story. God said, go. Jonah said, no. He took off. God said, I'll show you. You're going to fulfill my plan. I'll make a fish going to come swallow you. The fish swallows him, takes him out, spits him up on the shore. Now, if you look at a map, Jonah had to walk a long way. He had to walk hundreds of miles. He gets up there. This is a guy with an attitude. He hates the people he's going to be talking to. Shows up, looking pretty freaky looking, probably some residual seaweed around his head, and he comes up and he says, you're all going to fry! They must have perceived this man having come from a fish. And great fear came upon them, which led, in a practical way, to their great recovery as a culture and as a people. It's amazing. Why did Jesus say, only this sign, there'll be no others? Man, that's powerful. Jesus is saying, this, listen, church, listen, friends, listen up, this singular is the only, what? Are we really? I didn't feel a thing. No, did you feel the ground move or somebody walking on the roof? You need to come to Christ now. You need Jesus now. Feel a thing. Yeah, that's comforting, huh? Don't worry, the walls have been designed to fall out. Hey, Jesus said, no sign will be given to you, but that was close. Jesus is saying the only sign that matters. It doesn't matter, listen, with all due respect, it doesn't matter if God opened your eyes and now you can see. Hallelujah for that. It doesn't matter if your arm grew back. Great for that. Jesus said there's one sign that matters for all time and eternity. And that's the sign that comes through the prophet Jonah. Why? Why did he pick on Jonah to fulfill or to speak of that sign? Because Jonah was swallowed in a sense of burial. Jonah, in a sense, died in the belly of the whale. And Jonah, in a sense, was resurrected to fulfill the ministry. Jesus said, this is the sign. Matthew's gospel tells us it's clear. Jonah, as that sign was, so it will be about my life. He said, I will die, be crucified and died, buried. But on the third day, Jesus said, I'll be risen from the dead. It is an absolute prophetic announcement. Look to the life of Jonah, and you should understand that the Messiah is going to be buried, resurrected, having died for our sins. That Jesus says, that's the sign. And that's the issue this morning with you, isn't it? This morning, the believer says, yes, excellent. The person that's filled with unbelief says, you know what? I'd like to take you out and back and beat you up. I want to burn a Bible. All upset you are, angry that this could be true. Remember, first of all, it is. Second of all, remember, we plead with you to come to know the love of God. And again, that has nothing to do with membership in this church or signing anything. We may never see you again. That's not my point. To introduce you to God, Jesus said, no sign will be given but his resurrection. Listen, 1 Corinthians 15:1, this is the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. But 1 Corinthians 15:1, Paul the apostle said to the church, to the Greeks at Corinth, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you've received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which was preached to you, unless you believed in vain. In other words, don't let unbelief rob it from you. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Jesus died for our sins. That's number one. Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. Number two, that he was buried. And number three, that he rose again from the dead according to the scriptures. That's 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. That's the gospel. What is it? Listen, simply, Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead. That's it. Did you see how long it took me to say that? What is the gospel? Here we go. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. That took about 5 seconds. That's the gospel. You can even give that in an earthquake. You can give it to somebody who's dying on their hospital bed. Have we, Christian, I'm just talking to the believer, have we strayed so far from what we understand our God to want of people? Is there simple faith in him, not to join some club? Well, you know, it's too bad that you didn't live a life and become a member of our church. Are you crazy? That's not required of man. But to believe on the Lord, that's what's required of man. To run from unbelief and put your trust in Jesus who loves you. There's nobody on this planet, nor ever shall be, who loves you more than Christ. Nobody. Jesus was announcing to them, as Jonah was to the Ninevites, I will be to you. And we know from antiquity that the generation, the population of those there in Nineveh came to trust in God. That's awesome. That's amazing and wonderful. But the gospel is very clear, very simple. Point number two this morning, verse 31. Point number two, the dangers of unbelief. It's this. Unbelief refuses evidence. It refuses the evidence. Unbelief is funny because it's there's no reason to it. Look at verse 31. This is a real historical person here, the queen of the south. She came to see Solomon, the queen of Sheba. You know her from the Old Testament. Will rise up in the day of judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. Why is she brought up like this? Why does Jesus bring her up? There's thousands of people from the Bible he could have brought up. Why her? You want to know why, first of all, the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, she was so impressed. And you can read about that, by the way. You can read about her in 1 Kings 10, but the evidence of others, that's what I want you to jot down. Unbelief refuses evidence and refuses the evidence of other people. Yet you operate, I operate under a judicial system that in the mouth of a witness, a person can be declared guilty or acquitted. Testimony. Unbelief won't listen to anybody, and unbelief won't listen to others. And in 1 Kings 10, this story is in detail, but the queen of the south will rise up, Jesus said. This is amazing. Somehow, in some way, in that great final day of the judgment, when the unbelievers stand before God in the end, somehow she and the generation with the men of Nineveh They're going to rise up and condemn that generation. Why? Why? What is going on? Keep this in mind, that she left her throne in the area of today would be Yemen, right on the peninsula. She would have left Yemen and traveled in her caravan from Yemen through Saudi Arabia, 1,000 miles. She would have come to Jerusalem to see Solomon, and she did. Why? Because the Bible tells us that she came and she said this to him, King Solomon, I have been told the greatest things about you, that your wisdom and knowledge has come from the God of the Jews, the God of heaven above, and I want to know what's going on. And when she saw everything that God had done through him, she said, listen, the half, what I was told, the half of it was spoken to me. This is amazing. She left her throne, traveled 1,000 miles on the back of a camel or donkey or something to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And what does Jesus say? A greater than Solomon is here. He said that in front of the people who knew this message. Unbelief refuses the witness, the testimony, the evidence of others. It's amazing. Look at verse 32, the evidence of one. Unbelief refuses the evidence of one. You say, what do you mean one? It says in verse 32, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. To hear. Didn't Jesus say earlier to that woman who said, blessed is the woman who bore you? Didn't Jesus say, no, it's better that you hear the word of God and do it. This woman, the queen of Sheba, the queen of the south, she came. And she listened. The evidence of one. See, what do you mean by that? Friends, listen. And this is, I hope, very empowering to all of us. If you know someone, or if someone asks of you, why are you a Christian? Or what makes you different? Or why do you own a Bible? Or if they ask you straight up, what's going on in your life? Listen, the evidence of one, that's you and I, tell them, well, you know what? Seeing how you asked, this is who I am. This is what I was. And this is what I live for now. This is whom I live for now. Tell them. Now watch. They asked you about your life. Tell them. I'm not saying to you, make them believe. You can't. That's not our job. I'm not telling you to have them make a decision. That's not our job. The evidence of one, you and I soon will break up from this place and go our way. And you will have opportunity to tell people. And you just tell them the truth. Tell them about what God's done in your life. Unbelief will turn to you and say, I don't want to hear it. Well, I'm sorry, I thought you asked. I won't say. Unbelief will say, yeah, it worked for you, but... Unbelief will say, I don't discuss religion. That's good, we don't want to discuss it either. Amen. Unbelief throws up everything to try to stop that. But my friend, at the end of the day, we are to force no one to make a decision. That's ridiculous. When people say, leave me alone, leave them alone. Just go and pray for them in private. But tell them what God has done for you. You guys, if you get a chance, read the book, The Light and the Glory. There's other writings. You can, by the way, you can go online and download the Mariner's Log. The Mariner's Log of Christopher Columbus. Now, watch this. Talk about belief, unbelief. How many of you have heard of Christopher Columbus? Raise your hand. Well, I got to ask these days. He's a real guy. But you got to read his writings to find out about the man. It'd be good to do that about Mozart, too, and Beethoven. Stop getting Hollywood's version of who these guys were. And unfortunately, oh brother, guard the doors. Get the car started. Don't use public school's version of who these people are either. I love public school teachers. They've just been infiltrated with revised history. In his own words, Christopher Columbus, you can download his log and read him day by day. Did you know Christopher Columbus? He had a mom and a dad. Yeah, it's true. In Spain, did you know Christopher Columbus? Do you know how he got his name Christopher? He got his name before he was born. His mom and dad had a dream that they'd have a boy. They named him Christopher. Do you know what Christopher means? I'll give you a clue. Christ, Topher means to carry. The Christ bearer. That's what Christopher means, to carry Christ. If your name's Christopher, it means that you take or you bear Christ. His parents gave him the name. They believed that God had a plan for his life. He was brought up in the Bible. He had memorized much of the scriptures. He had an amazing prayer journal that he called the Book of Prophecies. You want to know why he called it the Book of Prophecies? Because Christopher Columbus said that's where God speaks to him. When he has his Bible open and when he prays, God speaks to him. And he wrote down verses from the Bible that led Christopher Columbus to believe that God had called him to take a mission of discovery to the world to find a new world to announce Christ. That's in Christopher Columbus's writings. When's the last time you heard that? You can go to his daily log and see how often he cried out to God. Why am I saying this? One person's evidence and God in their life can change the world. What about you? What about me? Thirdly, under this point, the evidence of Jesus Christ. Unbelief refuses evidence, and unbelief refuses the evidence of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said in verse 31, a greater than Solomon is here. We don't get the magnitude of that. Jesus is telling these Jewish people, hey, wake up. What do you think of Solomon? Oh, he's son of David. Wow. The queen of the south even came to get his wisdom. Jesus said, hello, a greater than Solomon is standing here right now. The magnitude of that is huge. Jesus is making it very clear regarding this fact that they, standing before Christ Jesus, they were refusing the witness of the Bible. My friend, if you haven't heard this, jot it down. The Bible speaks about Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. No one in all of history has had a book written about them from cover to cover that is, listen, like the Bible, covering thousands and thousands of years. Number two, the works of Jesus Christ were not only foretold before he did them, before his birth, but he did them. And then the claims of Christ. Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no one comes to the Father but through me. And he turned right around and said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed, beaten, crucified, but on the third day be risen from the dead. Jesus said it. What does history say? It happened. And then what about his birth into the world? Angels filled the sky in Bethlehem. And it was reported among those who were there.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called The Dangers of Unbelief. It's a look at Luke chapter 11 and verses 27 through 32, part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament gospel written by Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just recently wrapped up Pastor Jack's series, When a Christian Prays. That's still available on CD for your contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. When a Christian Prays. Just ask for it by title. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. You can also give us a toll-free telephone call at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to send in that tax-deductible contribution the traditional way, here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.